Captain Radio.
Well, it's a big discussion, is it not? The interest rate rises that are affecting everybody with just trying to get on with life at the moment. The real estate market, also very big discussion at the moment. Where is it heading? We spoke to Garth Davis a little while ago, and he's joining us again today, founder and CEO of Property Powerhouse. Garth, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Jenny. Great to be here.
Thank you very much for joining us. Garth, the data you mentioned is coming out for the month of January. Have you got a crystal ball in front of you?
Yeah, well, as you say, CoreLogic data do release first thing on Wednesday morning, all the data of home sales for January, all the sales around the country. We are expecting to see Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane still on the decline. We are expecting to see the Perth on a holding pattern. There would have been less volume of sales during the month of January just because of the time of year and holidays and people away. But we are expecting the Perth property prices to remain steady for the month of January. So we'll know more on Wednesday.
Yes. Everyone holds their breath a little bit, don't they, if they're holding a mortgage, that is for certain. Garth, I know it's been explained before, but why is it that real estate prices are dropping on the East Coast and yet we're still holding? And you have predicted that prices perhaps will go up this year.
Yeah, great question, Jenny. So during the period of COVID, when interest rates went to all-time low of 0.1% cash rate, that encouraged a lot of people to use the opportunity for cheap money, and particularly in Melbourne and Sydney, there was a massive increase in property prices. So the prices went up very strongly, Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane, and they went way over their trend lines and are now coming back towards their trend lines, and they are going through just a change in the setting. They're resetting on their pricing, and it's come down to affordability now with the interest rate so high and potentially to go up again next Tuesday. It just comes down to affordability, one, of purchasing capacity, and more importantly, is ongoing holding costs. So we're all looking out, Jenny, next week, Tuesday, the first Tuesday of the month for February, when the Reserve Bank sits. There's been some very high inflation data, a little bit higher than expected inflation data. So at this stage, it's pointing towards a interest rate increase. Again, next week, Tuesday.
Do you reckon there'll be another one after that?
They have factored in, the futures market affected in another two, potentially three. Ooh. This year. So there's potentially one now for February, maybe another one again for March, and then they may hold it for a couple of months just to see the delayed effect of what these eight increases in last year, 2022, actually, you know, giving them a bit of time to catch up and see what effect they've had. So, yes, potentially two quick ones now and then a pause to wait and see what happens.
Are they monitoring, I'm sure they are, it's a silly question probably, the inflation situation with these increases? That is the purpose of it, isn't it, to stop inflation?
Yes, and the real factor to bring back into this, to bring it back to property, Jenny, is what is this actually doing with interest rates for people on a month by month? Now, it might not be known, but this is actually a really important talking point, is that with finance and with people that have mortgages on their home, so 42% of mortgages are currently sitting on fixed rates at a beautiful low 1.99%, which they signed up right during COVID time, so all-time low 1.99. Now, those 42% of mortgages, of all mortgages, are sitting in that sort of honeymoon suite interest rate, and they are the expected to come out of fixed rates towards the end of this year, 2023, and next year, 2024. Now, what that means is their interest rates will go from basically 2% to 6%. So there's a very big unknown coming with those interest rates when they return to variables on those 42% of mortgages.
Well, like you have mentioned several times, the Perth property prices are going to be going up in 2023, this year, sorry. Perth property prices will keep increasing for the next 3 to 4 years. Can you break that down as to why? I mean, if these interest rates are going to affect everybody's mortgage payments, I'm just wondering why it's holding.
Yes, and it's a very good question. And the Perth market tends to follow the rest of the country. So we're sort of the last to move in the price growth. So as we said, Sydney had growth, Melbourne had growth.
Yeah.
So is Brisbane and Adelaide. Perth never got that growth. We work at a different time of different cycle to the eastern states, and where they're more affected with the interest rate movements, we are, because we counter cycle, we're more affected by what's going on in our economy and very much in the mining economy. So at this stage, the mining is going strong. China is opening up again, so they're going to be increasing productivity and more demand for our iron ore. We've got more people coming into WA, so we've got positive net interstate migration from around Australia coming into Western Australia, and predicted massive international migration coming in, plus the international students. So we have no properties really to sell. The volumes are very low. The properties to rent are very low, the number of volumes. So it's just going to be driven on the back of demand and supply. We've got people coming to live and to buy, and people coming to live to rent. And our property is the most affordable in the country, and we haven't had that boom in property prices like the rest of the country had for the last 2 years.
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, the situation with building properties, of course, has become pretty much to a standstill. I mean, they haven't got the materials coming into the country, and people that have been waiting to get their homes fixed or renovated or absolutely build a new home, that's really quite frightening for people, isn't it?
It's been a very difficult time for people having their homes built, where normal build times would be 12 months. There may be listeners out there that have been holding for 18, 24 months, and potentially even a little bit longer. So what sort of happened now is the big hold-up in construction. It obviously all happened at the beginning of COVID. We had this massive demand because there was a double grant, a federal grant to encourage people to build, as well as a state grant. So we had a double grant here for people sitting in WA. Mm. So there was a lot of work in the front end of the funnel. Now that's sort of moved down the construction line, and it's where the big hold-up at the moment is around the roofing and putting on roofs, the wooden timbers and the roofing. So the front end is actually happening much faster. If people are getting into the building a house and land or a home at the moment, the work has actually been done pretty quickly on the front end. The slabs are going down pretty quickly. The bricks are getting up to play type pretty quickly. So it's returning to much quicker and sustainable building periods. Anyone looking to build now is in a much better space than the people who were building 2 years ago.
I think we're lucky to be in WA at the moment, that's for certain. The other area too, I think, has been mentioned on and off is in the fact that investors, because of rising interest rates, have sort of pulled back a little bit. How important is it to have investors? Obviously, because of the rental market, that's what we need, don't we?
Yes, and I think what we mentioned last time, how important these investors are, because for every investor that has a property, that's a property to get rented out.
Yep.
Every time an investor leaves the market, they sell. What's been happening is the person buying that is not a fellow investor. It's been bought by an owner-occupier. So what happens is one less property in the rental pool. And we did mention last time, but it's really important to remember again, that in these last 2 years, our actual volume of rental properties in Western Australia has by 18,000. So 2 years ago, there was 18,000 more rental properties to rent than there are now. And investors have been getting out of the market just because of there being very little capital growth between 2015 and up until now, but that is definitely coming. And also just, the rules that were put in place, government rules that were put in place during COVID, where they couldn't evict anyone, they couldn't increase the rents, there were rent caps. Yeah. So there's a lot of sort of interference, not saying it's good or bad. I mean, it was there to protect people. But for investors, a lot of them just felt it was getting too hard and decided to exit the market and stay out of the market for a while.
But what you're saying about Western Australia, which looks very good for the future, for people that own their own homes, that sort of thing, maintaining the price of the property, for investors, surely that would start to look a bit more appealing as well.
Yes, and it's often people from outside that can see the opportunity. So There are a lot of investors from Sydney, Melbourne, particularly that see great opportunity in Perth. They're the ones that see, wow, is that all that house and land or that property costs? Because generally we're half the price of Sydney, we're three quarters of the price of Melbourne. Yeah. So they see great opportunity in our pricing. Our rental yields are fantastic. So properties that are worth $500,000, it's not uncommon you can get now $500 a week or $600 a week in Perth, which means a rental yield of about 5.5%. Mm. In the eastern states, they're only getting about 3%.
Oh, wow.
So our yields are really, really good. And even with the high interest rates, the properties are almost like cash flow neutral, which means they break even in WA, and they won't be doing that in the eastern states. So for investors, this is a great opportunity.
Well, I'm sure they'd be able to see that. I mean, with the amount of fabulous, well, should I say that some are, some aren't, apartment blocks that are coming onto the market, you know, for people to invest in and rent out if they wish to. And, of course, there's the build-to-rent program that we have, which has come out of America.
Yes. So, look, there's lots of opportunities. So, yeah. What we have found is a lot of the apartment projects have been put on ice just because the cost of building those apartments doesn't equate to any profit in the developers, because they take a long time, normally apartments, you know, if they're 8, 10, 20 levels, they've gone to construction for 2 to 3 years, and the developers are generally smart people. They look at the numbers, they weigh up the risk, and they're looking at what the input costs are versus what the market will pay for them in today's market. So a lot of the apartment projects are actually on hold, and again looking for potentially some government assistance to allow them to have some sort of potentially some assistance in getting those properties up, yeah, particularly during the early stages of all the red tape, getting all the building approvals and the groundwork sorted out, because that takes a lot of their time, is the front end and just getting it all approved before they actually can start on the construction.
Yes, well, it's sort of looking not too bad for the future, I think. Let's hope so anyway. Garth, as always, we thank you so much for joining us. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Jenny. It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you indeed. Curtain Radio.